Bob and I have known each other for several years. He was here at the church 8 years ago, I guess. Then he left for a minute.
Yeah.
And then he came back. He had to go be a missionary at a different church. And so he's back now. And I'm so grateful you're here, Pastor Bob.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful to be here.
So, you have to look past his grizzly look.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it does. So, anyway, God bless you, Pastor Bob. Thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. Well, with the beard and the hair, I'm not afraid to say what I want to say anymore. It gives me a little bit extra confidence, I think, because people don't expect that I can catch them off guard. Gospel in a nutshell. The Roman Road. I know that you've all heard about the Roman Road. Some of you may have memorized the Roman Road. There's different ways you can do it, present it. There's some people use different verses and they go outside of Romans. I use them all in Romans. I'll tell you, God wanted me to bring this morning, this presentation. The devil didn't want it, because I had a lot of things come up this week that wanted to take it away from me, and not. I wanted to call a pastor and say, hey, I just can't do this. But mainly, not because I'm not afraid to do it, I want to do it, I'm going to do it, but things just kept coming up. I got it all ready, had it all done in my computer. I was going to print it out last night, and the printer didn't work no matter what I did to it. I got a backup, though. I got a backup printer. Well, I tried it, and it didn't work either. So there was one thing and then another come up. And so finally I thought, well, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to bring my computer and set it right up here. But I didn't have to do that. Fortunately, this morning I found a way that I could get it printed out. And really, I don't need it printed out. It's just my mind's getting a little foggy sometimes, and so I have to memorize things. I know you're shaking your head there, Tom. You remember, you know that. Yeah. Just a bit of background. Evangelism is mandatory. It is essential for the Christian to know how to present the gospel. The Bible says, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Here, so many people say, whenever you go to train them, and, well, I don't feel called as an evangelist. Well, you know, you may not be called to be an evangelist, but you are called to do the work of an evangelist and to fulfill your ministry. There are different ways. The best way is to memorize these verses. Six verses here. They're not hard verses. They're very easy. They flow in a way that you can really present them in a positive way. Not too often you're going to hear somebody come to you and say, what must I do to be saved? That just don't happen. It's happened to me one time in a lot of years of ministry. However, you do have an opportunity in a church setting to present the gospel in this, to present the Roman Road. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? First of all, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all, Romans 3:23. Who knows Romans 3:23? Oh, what a little girl. What is it? Amen. Amen. Let's do it, okay? Let's all say it together. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's verse. People need to recognize that they are a sinner. Whenever you start out that way, well, some will say, I don't know that I'm a sinner. I never killed anybody. that's not what it is. It's killing somebody would be a sin, but there's a whole lot of other things. You ever just do something on your taxes that maybe you shouldn't have done? Or you ever got away with some? One time I was in a grocery store and I had some potatoes on the bottom rack. Wife was out in the truck and they didn't catch the potatoes, and I didn't think about it until I got out to the truck. And I told the wife, I said, you know, they didn't catch those potatoes. And I said, you know, I must have got a good deal today, huh? Well, not exactly. The wife said, you go back in there and pay for them potatoes. Okay. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Say it again. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody is a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. And everybody continues to sin. Oh, it went quiet now. Yeah, you're starting to think a little bit now. What was that last sin that I did do? We do continue to sin. And so we need to have a forgiveness for that sin. If you confess your sin, and I didn't write that one down. if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That verse wouldn't be there if he didn't know that we would continue to sin. Romans 3:23. Next verse you need to know is Romans 6:23. You tell somebody that, you know what, the first thing you need to do is know that you're a sinner. The second thing you need to know is that there is a consequences for that sin. For all have sinned. Oh, no. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. For the wages of sin is death. Well, I didn't do that bad a sin. It ain't worth dying for. Well, you know what? That's what God says. If you've committed a little sin, you're guilty of all of them. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I like that part. You know, some Bibles don't have that free gift in there. They leave it out. But I just love that free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, man, I love that one. But how come? How come God would allow us to sin and say that the wages of sin is death, but there's a free gift out there of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord? Why would God do something like that? Well, I'll tell you, in Romans 5:8, it gives us an idea. No, it tells us why. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love. God is love. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, while we continue to sin, God died for us. Christ died for us. Christ is God. That's Romans 5:8. Well, Romans, we go on to the next one. If you confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's pretty straightforward. But if you confess with your mouth, that means you open your mouth. That means you bear testimony. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus says Lord, and believe in your heart, not your mind. You know, even somebody said it this morning or last week or something, that even the devil believes or knows. You can't fool him, you know. He knows that Christ died and was born again. He knows that with his mind, but there's a difference between knowing it with your mind and knowing it with your heart. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, he is my Lord. That's what the devil wants. He wants to be Lord. He ain't going to be Lord. He ain't going to be Lord in my life. Jesus is Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus is Lord of my life, and I hope that he is Lord of your life. I'm sure he is. And you believe in your heart. That little thing right there, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. There is so much evidence that Christ was resurrected. You can't fight the evidence. And people say, well, I'm not sure that he was raised from the dead. I mean, that seems impossible. Well, that's what happened. He did. He was raised from the dead. If you believe those two things, it says you will be what? Saved. You will be saved. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Romans 10:13. That in my Bible, I don't know about yours, but in my Bible, it's all capitalized in bold print. And it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I think the pastor used that one last week. I told him not to take my verses, but I guess they're not mine. You can all have them. If you can all have them. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, that ain't hard to do, especially whenever you're facing death. Whenever you start to come to the end of your days, whenever you start to get older, you begin to think more of your ending days than you did whenever you were young. So you think more about your eternity. And I'll tell you about something else in just a little bit, something I heard. But anyway, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, that's not hard to do. Is that all I got to do? Yeah, that's it. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want that. You're not going to hear very many people say, oh, I don't want that. It's a free gift. God's got a gift there, and he wants to give you that gift. But you know what? You've got a responsibility to take that gift. I want that. Anybody else want that? Everybody raise your hand. You all want that gift? I know. Boy, I do. Well, I was born as a Christian. You may be born in a Christian home, but you wasn't born as a Christian, because we were born with a sin nature. And we need to understand these verses here, especially that we were born with a sin nature. But we need to know that once we make that one time testimony and believe in the heart that God is going to be your Lord. If you make that testimony, if you say that that's what you're going to do, if you believe in your heart and you want to be saved, you call upon the name of the Lord. And you don't have to do it again. I mean, you confess your sin again, but you don't have to make that one time. Once you have a relationship with somebody, that relationship doesn't go away. Whenever you have a relationship with God through Christ our Lord, I love that, through Christ our Lord, it don't go away. God ain't going to take it back. It's a gift. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God." There it is again, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God ain't going to take it back. Once he gives that gift and you say, "I want to have a relationship with you," he's not going to take it back. Praise the Lord for that, because if he was going to take it back, sometimes even after Christian, I have done sins that I am not proud of. I need that forgiveness. I need the grace of God. I need it. I need it daily. And he ain't going to take it back. Write it down. Write it down. Memorize it if you can. And if you say, "Oh, I can't memorize Scripture," well, if you say it enough times, you can memorize it. But write it down. Write it down in your Bible. Go to the first verse and Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's in the New Testament, Romans is. You all know that. Rule 23, what I did, I highlighted it in my Bible. Just in case I get flustered, and that's happened before. In case I get flustered, I know the first verse, because that's the easiest verse. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I go there. It's been highlighted in my Bible. And it says in the bottom, I wrote 6:23. Oh, that means go to Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, I got that one. Okay. What do I do now? Oh, go to the bottom of the paper, Bible, and it says Romans 5:8. So I go back to 5:8. Write it down. It's a good way to share your faith if you use these verses. Now, that's not the only way. There's a lot of different verses you can use, a lot of different plans, but use something. Use something to share your faith. God says, do it. Do the work of an evangelist. I love sharing my faith. I just love doing it. And I didn't used to love it so much. I was afraid that somebody was going to put me down. You know what? The older I get, the more I don't care. you put me down if you want to, but I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to tell you like it is. And you better if you don't understand it, I'll tell you again. And I've had to do that before. Now the good part. where and when do you share your faith? Where and when do you share the gospel? The Bible says to preach the word in season and out of season. That means preach the word, preach the gospel anytime. Preach, tell, share the gospel in season and out of season. That means winter, spring, summer, fall. Four seasons. Share the word. In other words, just do it anytime. Just share the gospel. You know, I talked to a young man this week. Actually, I talked to about half a dozen people this week. And it was a great week. Anyway, I talked to this young guy this week. And we were standing in line waiting for some pills at the druggist. And I said, "Are you a Christian?" And no. You're not a believer? No. Look, man, don't you want to go to heaven? No. I asked, what are you going to do then if you're not going to go to heaven? He says, "I've got my own quiet place that I'm going to go to." And he shakes his hair to the side. "I've got my own place that I go to, that I'm going to go to." Yeah, he's going to hell. Where he's going to, if he doesn't change his ways, if he doesn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, unfortunately, he's going to go to hell. You've got one of two places. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to some quiet place where you can hug trees all day long. Amen?
Amen?
Some think that you're going to, though. I talked to another man. It just happened to be at a grocery store also, at Fred Meyer. Oh, they got a lot of things going on at Fred Meyer. Man, I tell you, that is prime for the picking. You could share your faith there, I tell you. I talked to another man at Fred Meyer. And I'm not going to tell you his name, because I'll just tell you it was first initial was J, for James. He's a homeless man. Yeah, my heart, whenever he said, he took out my groceries. I'm not that old, but I guess I was limping around a little bit. But he said, "Can I take out your groceries for you?" And I said, "No, you're kidding." He said, "No, let me take out your groceries for you." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'll even put them in your car, your truck or car, whatever you got." Okay. My heart was so touched whenever he told me that he was a homeless man and that he was working and that he slept in his car the night before, and he's been doing that for some time. I said, "What can I do for you? What can I do for you?" Because I had already talked to him and shared a little bit of the my faith with him. And he is a Christian, born-again Christian. He already made those, that he's got a relationship with the Lord. I said, "What can I do for you? I got money. You take some money or for something, you know, for food or for whatever you need it for." And I had some money on me. I could have given him some money. "No, I don't want no money. I don't need no money." I said, "Well, have I got anything else? Can I do anything else for you?" My heart was really touched. "What can I do for you? I want to do something." He said, pray for me. Well, I never thought of that. Pray for him. So what did I do? I said, let's pray right now. And so I began to pray for him. And he began to bow his head. And he began to get a little bit of a tear, I noticed, in his eye. And I pleaded with the Lord that he would find his way, that he would have a place to stay. I don't know the circumstances of why he's homeless. It doesn't matter. It just matters that he is. And that he's had some hard times before. So I prayed for him, that God would provide for him in a special way, that God would bless him. You know what? That sounds so simple, pray that God would bless him. You know, a blessing from God, what that's worth? More than silver or gold. I prayed that God would bless him. And he still had that little tear there. And we got done and said amen. He said amen. And then we went our own ways. He didn't want anything else, just somebody to pray for him. There was another time, this didn't happen this week, but it happened maybe a month ago. We were going through the checkout line there again, Fred Meyer. We go to Fred Meyer quite a bit. Anyway, there was a woman behind us coming up in the checkout. I'm sorry. Yeah, she was coming up behind us in the checkout. And we paid for our groceries here. And we were kind of slow getting out and getting them into the bags and everything. And the checker had already begun to check her groceries. And she had enough money to pay for everything. But she said, I need this fruit here too. And she didn't have enough money to pay for the fruit. And so I heard that and I thought, you know, I can pay for the fruit. And so I asked the checker there, I said, is it all right if we pay for the fruit? And she says, you'd have to ask her, and like it's a big deal. But anyway, it was for the lady. So we said, well, we'll pay for the fruit then. And the checker said, well, you're going to pay for all of it? And I looked at Nell, and she looked at me, and we looked at the lady and said, we'll pay for all of it. We'll pay for all of her groceries that she got that day, which was some groceries, I tell you. But you know what? God blessed us in that. You know something? The Bible says you cannot offer a burnt offering to the Lord which costs me nothing. You know, that's what the Bible says in the Old Testament. I think it still applies today. It's going to cost you something. When you share your faith, it's going to cost you. We got all done and we had paid for her groceries, and she's really in tears now. I mean, you know, she's didn't know what to say. She said thank you about 100 times. And you know, we didn't really expect that. But, you know, and a thank you from the Lord, that come. And that's just a great thing there. But Donella and the lady had just a little short conversation afterwards. After we'd paid for her groceries, we started out. And she whispered over in Donella's ear, she said, I just found out yesterday from my doctor I've got cancer. Well, Donella, she started tearing up this time. And Donella told me, and I started tearing up. You know, I say the poor lady, the lady is rich because she knows the Lord. But What a privilege it is. But I tell you, sharing your faith is going to cost you sometimes. And you better be ready to pay the price, because we never know what it's going to be. It may not be money. It may be time. It could be anything. But it's going to cost you something. You better be ready to pay the price. You better have them verses down so that you know what you're going to share. If you have some verses down so that you know what you're going to share, memorize them or mark them in your Bible. Get yourself one of them little, Carolyn, get one of them little Bibles. Huh? You got one of them little Bibles, didn't you? Carry it with you. Carry it in your purse. No, women, carry it in your purse. And men, just carry it in your back pocket. I know that you carry your telephones back there, so carry your Bible back. Well, I guess men don't carry a purse. I've seen it, though. Bob, what are you wearing that red T-shirt for? I don't usually come to church like this. I may start coming to church more and more now that I've done it the first time. What are you wearing that red T-shirt for? Two reasons. One, I can share my faith. And two, it reminds me of my essentiality in sharing the grace, in sharing the gospel. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. I get up in the morning and I go in and wash my face and hands in the wash basin there, and I look up at the mirror, and I've got my red shirt on, and I think to myself, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And now that starts out my day, and then I start to thank the Lord. I start to thank the Lord for His forgiveness of sin. And I've had some people come to me that may not know me, but they, how come you always wear the red T-shirt? Break the ice. You don't know what you just did, lady or mister. You just broke the ice. I'm going to share my faith with you. I'm going to share the Roman road with you. There are many ways to share your faith, but the thing to do it is to do, main thing to do is to do it. Share your faith. If you're a Christian, share your faith. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you say, I think so, well, you hear that a lot. That ain't good enough. Not to think so. Are you saved? You better know you're saved. If you're saved, you're going to know it, because God has given you a gift, that Holy Spirit, that is going to dwell within you, and you are going to know that you are saved. And if you don't have that burning desire in you, even at least you'll have a burning desire to share your faith. I guarantee it. It may be in a different way than I shared this morning. Are you saved? Or do you think so? Pastor's going to give an invitation. I'm just about finished. Pastor's going to give an invitation. If you're not saved, now is your opportunity. If you are saved, now is your opportunity to commit yourself to sharing your faith this week. You start doing it, and you're going to get excited about it. You'll be coming back here next week. Pastor, I shared my faith this week with somebody, and they said that they would think about it. You know what? The main thing is to share your faith. To us, be faithful. The response is up to God. You know, He's the one that saves. So if you're just thinking about, or just thinking that you're saved, that ain't good enough. if you're just thinking about it, you come down here right now. Right now, you come down here and make it right with the God.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. You are. Yes, please do.
You know what? I knew that I'd be here and it wouldn't hardly be anybody here. But that's okay. That's okay because we got the elect here. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go out this week. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bob. I assume everyone here knows Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I assume everyone has made that decision in your heart. But like Pastor Bob said, there was a time when I was hoping I was saved. But I didn't have that assurance. But there is a passage of Scripture in 1 John 1:9 that says, we can know that we have eternal life. And I want you to know that. And I want others in this community to know that. And I appreciate Pastor Bob so much sharing this morning. You can tell where his heart is. He's an evangelist, and causes that fire to burn in me, and hopefully it's doing the same for you, to be more of an evangelist, to open our mouths, to share our faith with others. As we sing this morning, if you have doubts about your salvation, then I would ask that you come and let's get that settled with the Lord. If there are some things, other decisions you need to make with Christ this morning, the altar's open. I'm going to be here as well as Pastor Bob. And so let's sing together and let God have his way in your life this morning.
Jesus.